I think that it contains about as many mysteries, yet it is so positive and it works so perfect, and that is prayer. And I thought that we would discuss different phases of the word prayer. It's been widely misused. And there's a lot of people in the world today that pray and call it that, but they really never pray. They really never pray. And Jesus, while he was here on earth, I believe that you could, if you want to know something about a certain product, go to somebody that knows all about it and that has mastered it, and then get some information on that. I don't like to go to someone to get information on a subject that is very vital and important. And to know the background is very shallow. And their knowledge is limited. I like to know that they know what they're talking about. And if there's ever anybody on earth that knew about prayer, it is Jesus.
That's right.
And there's one thing about it. He was definitely convinced that it worked. Someone last night was speaking about a certain preacher, a Baptist preacher, and he believed, and I think there's others that believe that too, but he was making a statement that Jesus Christ could not have sinned. There was no way that he could have sinned when he was here on earth. That he was in a position, you see. He was in a position that even if he had been tempted by the devil, he still had a kind of a lock-in. He still had some kind of a setup. That even if he had gone ahead and the devil had just, well, had finally got him, and he is about ready to commit the sin that we commit, you know, any sin. He was tempted like us in all points. That there was a kind of a fuse that would blow, and he would boo-boo, go neutral, and then he would come on back and get on the right line. That's a bunch of hooey. I never could be really proud of Jesus if I thought that that's the way they had it. But I know one thing. I know enough about the devil to tell you one thing. The devil wouldn't have wasted one split second on him had he had that kind of setup. But he had the right kind of setup. He had a setup, and he knew the potential. He knew the possibilities of him making a mistake and failing. I know it's hard for us to think that he was in a body, but yet he was. The body he was in become weary like anybody else's body. And he was tempted in all points. And he slept at night. And far as I know, God never sleeps, never slumbers, and we're going to be made like it unto his glorious body. And we go to heaven. I don't think we'll ever sleep. We won't have to sleep. We'll have a glorified body. We say, but I like to sleep. Well, I like to stay awake too. When I'm asleep, don't know much about what's going on. I just go to rebuild my body. But with a glorified body, you don't have to rebuild it. It's already perfect. And one thing I'm going to say about prayer is this. While Christ was in this world, he did not believe what's going to be is going to be. That's another great error. It's a lie from the devil. What's going to be is going to be. Predestination is in the Bible, but predestination is a wonderful thing, but you've got to look at it like God looks at it. God foreknew that I'd be here this morning, and he knew yesterday that I'd be here today. Now, if I'd laid out today, he would have known yesterday that I would have laid out today. But he would not have had anything to do unless it was an answer to prayer that I needed to be somewhere else, and he opened the way and made it possible, so and so. But God would have had nothing to do with it if I had decided to go ahead and do some other thing, call someone. It's the fact that God just knows everything, and he knew that's the way it would be, and his knowledge knew that I wouldn't be here. But his knowledge knowing it didn't put me into a straitjacket and deprive me of my will, and I am a zombie. I go about, and here I come to church because God makes me come to church. When you go out and run into a person, kill two kids, what's going to be is going to be. Well, God knew that yesterday, and it had to be. Oh, no, it didn't. We're here, and we have a will. I can throw this Bible down, or I could have kept it in my hand. God had nothing to do with that at all. But God knew 10 minutes ago that I'd throw it down, but him knowing it didn't cause me to throw it down. And that, let's get that predestination straightened out. But they believe that what's going to be is going to be. And Jesus believed that, and he thought it worked, and he knew that in position, knew that's the way it was. He'd never have to go out all night and pray. That'd be foolish, because that's wearing on the old human body. And by the way, he had one. That's what he had. But he didn't go out and spend the night in prayer just because he just felt it's a glorious thing to do, and I always like to pray. No, I believe there were times that his body become weary. But you know why? He, in his mind, in his heart and soul, he knew the vital importance of prayer. And that's what put him out on the mountain. Had he believed that whatever is going to be anyway, no matter what I do, that's just a person trying to get out of doing what they really ought to do. So I want to try to answer just a few things about prayer. And if any of you have a question about it, be glad for you to think about it and speak it out. But I want to mention just a few things about the information we get about prayer from the Lord Jesus himself. First of all, if I'm not for a thing, I can't sell it. You see what I mean? If I don't like a car, and to me it's a lemon, and somebody else know how I feel about it, I can't sell that car. If Jesus Christ is trying to put over the necessity of prayer, if he's not for it, then I'm not for it. But I am for prayer. He said men ought always to what? Pray. Always to pray. Now, did he say it? Now, that is something. In other words, men, now when he said men, he means man, the humanity. He means the human race, woman as well as man. Men ought always, always to pray. Now, let's analyze that just for a few minutes. Somebody said, well, you just can't get out and pray always. Well, the way he meant praying always, you see, in understanding the Bible, you have got to not build any doctrine on one verse of Scripture, but take the whole thing all the way through. I don't find any place in the Bible where Jesus called the apostles. And every time you wanted to find him, you had to go and find him on the knees. And as soon as he asked him a question, he said, thank you, I'm going back to prayer and stay there. And from morning till night, they stayed on the knees and prayed, and they prayed always, meaning they never did do nothing else but pray. We find that it suggests that out of 24 hours, they called one hour of prayer. And they went up at the hour of prayer. That's in the Bible. Now, that doesn't sound like the day of prayer. It sounds like the hour of prayer. Now, always doesn't mean 24 hours. It means a day, an hour in the day. But now, where does the always come in? Since he said men ought always to pray. Now, I've had some folks say, well, just go around and say, well, Jesus, blessed Lord, thank you. How are you, Hicks? Well, wonderful. Where's your wife? Thank you, Jesus. Sister Hickman, it's good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad to have you. Amen. Wonderful, Jesus. How are you? Nice tie. Thank you, Jesus. You know what that is? Drive you crazy. It's a nut. That's right. Now, But what does always mean? Well, it does mean what it says. And you know what? You know what it means? A fellow says, he goes to a fellow, and he'll say, now look, you're moving in. I know your record in the past. I need a tenant, but I need a check. And I'm just going to give you some information. You're prone to kind of do some skipping. I make my living on these two houses I have, and you're moving in one of them. I put my groceries and feed my kids on what I get on this house. And there's one thing I want you to open your ears and listen very clearly to what I'm telling you. I want you to always pay your rent. That doesn't mean that I've got to go around with him and every time he makes a move, say, here's your rent, here's your rent. 2 more cents, 4, 8, 16. You see, I got to keep paying rent. Always, always pay your rent. Always pay your rent. And just constantly, always be in the act of paying your rent. Well, it'd be an expensive house. Spend all your time going around and every split minute figuring out how each minute, how much that rent's in. And always, that word always. You know what the word always mean when he said always pay your rent? It means when the time comes that the rent is due, pay it. That's exactly what it means. Now, when God said, always be kind, he means this. When ordinary people wouldn't be kind, I want you to be kind. It means that when the time comes to pray, now here's what it doesn't mean. We'll show you what it doesn't mean. Then we know what it does mean. That's the way to find out what a thing is. A fellow said, I've got a ball hidden one of these corners. Well, I don't know which corner the ball's in, but I go to that one and it's not there. He's honest, he's told me the truth. I go to that one, it's not there. I looked in that one and it's not there. Now that I know where it's at, I haven't seen it yet, but I know where it's at by the process of elimination. I know it's not there and there and there, and it's in a corner. So that one I haven't looked in yet, so since he's told the truth, it's got to be there by the process of elimination. That's the way you find out what a thing is. Now, when God tells us to pray, always, it means to pray today. It means to pray tomorrow. It means pray the next day. Pray the day after that. And have a constant life of prayer. And don't let it be a skip and a jump and pray now and then like a lot of people. Now, there's one fellow got down, and this is exactly what he said. God knows he said it. He did say it. He said, oh, God, you know how I love my wife. And he said, God, the doctors think she's in a very dangerous condition. Now, God, you know that I've never bothered you. I've never bothered you. And the third time, oh, God, you know I've never bothered you. And if you'll just please touch her right now, I'll promise you, I'll never bother you again. When the trouble's over, when the little sick wife is up and healthy, and you've answered my prayer, it's goodbye, God. I'll see you when she gets in the bed again sick. Here comes trouble. God sends trouble to a man. God sits back and said, well, I haven't seen old J.W. in about 6 months, but watch out. He's going to come slamming the prayer door in a few minutes and holler, oh, God. Why? Because trouble got a hold of him. And he shows up when trouble comes. Got his leg cut off. And they don't know whether they're going to be able to stop the blood poison. And he's shaking out. My, it's going to go to his heart. Oh, God, look out now. They know he's coming in the prayer room and God's going to hear him because he's got trouble on the line. I'd hate to be an individual that's branded by God that the only time he sees our face is when we've got a bunch of trouble. My wife left me. The kids won't have anything to do with me. Brother Hibbert, it finally got me. I'm an alcoholic. I want to get rid of it now. Can you bring me to God? I want to come to God. And we come showing up when things go wrong. Brother, let me tell you, when the sun is shining and the mocking birds are in tune, and when the husband is fine and the children are healthy, When you got money in your pocket and the job is good and you're going up, prospering on every side. Brother, I'm going to tell you, sleeping good at night, eating three meals a day. I like to drive down the highway sometime when I am in a little hurry. And I like to drive down the highway when I could, for many reasons, just keep going. I like to pull over to the side because I've done it. Cut the motor off and say, God, I just wanted to stop along this highway long enough to tell you that I love you and I appreciate you and I thank you for every good thing you've done for me. I think yesterday morning I was up praying, my usual time, about 3 to 4 in the morning. I got in and got thanking God for things way back there. And I did. And they got to piling in. I said, oh, God, way back there, thank you for answering that prayer about that job that time. Give me that car. Lord, I thank you. And then something else come out. And Lord, that was a wonderful thing when you healed me of that foot. I was about to die. It looked like every time my heart had beat, that foot had come off in just in a split second. Quick as you could snap your finger. It was as healed as it is right this second. It was a miracle of miracles. And I thought how I appreciated that. A time had gone by, many years. And I went back and I said, thank you, Lord, for that. I wasn't in trouble then. I was healthy. Got up at night. Felt good. Got up at 3 o'clock. Down there praying. Raising my hand. Thanking God for what he'd done before. Now when you come up and say, God, I'd like to have you do something for me, he's going to open the door. The eyes of the Lord are over the everybody on earth. Well, of course, he sees what you're doing. But God's watchful eye, he's a night watchman for his kids. The eyes of the Lord's over the righteous, and his ears are open. His ears are open to their prayer. I'm talking about prayer. Jesus saw the necessity of prayer. Whenever he wanted things to happen, he prayed about it. He'd go out on the mountain, and when 12 o'clock he couldn't get it all in, he'd stay there till the sun came up. Now he went out to the mountain. That didn't sound like up here at Fifth Avenue somewhere in New York. Horns blowing, telephones ringing, everything else. Went out on the mountain. You know what bothered him out there? Nothing. Nothing. All you might hear is the crackle of a squirrel or maybe a chirp of a bird. But there's nobody going to say, now, Jesus, I've just got to so-and-so. He went out on a mountain. And then there's another time he had to pray, and the mountain wasn't close, so he went to a solitary place. You know what a solitary place is? That's when you get there and you need somebody. You haven't got them because they're not there. That means you got it all by yourself. And he went to a solitary place. The next place, he went to a desert. That's right. The Bible said he went out in the desert and there prayed. So he went to the mountain by itself. He went to the solitary place by itself. He went to the desert by itself. And then he was gone one day and they said, where's Jesus? Well, he's not around. I know, but I got to see him. Well, you just can't see him. Well, do you know where he is? Yeah, I know where he is, all right. Well, could you tell me? Well, I'll whisper and tell you where he's at. But you can't go because he doesn't want to fool with you. Now, he's gone to the wilderness. He's gone to the wilderness. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you, if you want to know a lonely place, if you want to find a solitary place, you get out in that wilderness. Now, when you get out there, you look, you don't see nobody. It's just raised up and down, up and down, up and down, sand dunes, nothing, old dry, little old shrubs here and yonder, and you could be hid real close, nobody could ever see you, look for you half a day, never know where you're there, and you go out in the wilderness. It's a place to hide, it's a place to get away. So Christ went to the wilderness, he went to the desert, he went to a solitary place, he went to the mountain, what for? To get a hold of God. Yes, amen. As a great movie star, most of us know him, Cheyenne Bodie, on Clint Walker. His name is Clint Walker. He's on. He's a cowboy. Western Pictures. They had an interview with him years ago when he was skiing and had something stuck by his heart, and had to have an operation. And the reporters talked to him and saw a Bible on his desk, and he said, "That's the thing that brought me through." He said, "I trust in that Bible." Now, he, to me, I think he's one of the greatest cowboys they ever had. He has a moral, wonderful moral, always has. And I'm just going to tell you this about prayer, though. He was out at Phoenix, Arizona, and one boy that I know real personal, like my own brother. I don't have a brother, but it'd be like my own brother. He was with him, worked out every morning while they were taking a picture right out of Phoenix, Arizona. Get up, YMCA, and they'd go out and have a workout before they go to eat breakfast. So this fellow that worked out with him knew me. And he told me. He said, "You know, when Saturday would come, I wouldn't see Clint Walker." He's a young fellow, about 30-some-odd years old, and one of the top movie stars in Hollywood. And looks like a giant, big old physique, you know. Clint Walker, most of you know him, I'm sure. And anyway, he'd be gone Saturday. And this fellow asked him, said, "Hey, Clint," said, where do you go on Saturday? "No, it's the last several Saturdays you're gone. You come in Saturday night." "Oh, I go up the road." "You go to California?" I said, "No, it's too far there." I said, I don't go up to California." "Oh," I said, "you wouldn't understand." So I said, "Well, none of my business. Thought maybe something private." So next Saturday, he's gone again. Come in. He said to him, "Clint, where in the world do you go? Well, there's nothing down that road. Man, well," he said, "do you want me to tell you?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "All right." He said, "You may think it's foolish. It doesn't matter to me what you think. But," he said, "I go down there about 20 miles, 15, 20 miles. And," he said, "there's a little old deserted country road that turns off to the right off of the main state highway. And it goes way back past the mountains over there to nowhere. I don't know." He said, "It just goes way, a little old trail, you know, on the sand. It's easy to drive." And he said, "I'd go down that highway and turn off on that little old deserted road. And I'd go way out the back of that mountain and park my car." He is in a solitary place. He is in a mountain place. He is in a desert place, because that's a desert of desert. Now, if he needs help, he can't find him, because nobody out there but him. There's no telephone. There's nobody going to get a hold of him. And his car, the motor's cut off. And now," he said, "I get out of the car. And when I get out of the car, I walk and I talk with God all Saturday. And I find that it gives me a security and a peace and an understanding that books, education, college, friends, doctors, lawyers, nothing can give me like going out." Got where God was anxious when he arrived, waiting to walk with him. There he was, surrounded by celebrities. I called his wife and talked to her about 30 minutes on the phone not too long ago. And in our talking, I said, "Your husband is really a Christian, isn't he?" She said, "Is he?" "I'll tell you, he is." Said, "We go out every Sunday to different churches, and he and I sing. And they... though he is in the ministry, there's a lot of them that claim to be saved. But brother, when you check out everything and let God have first priority and go out and there commune with God, brother, let me tell you, you got something on the string." Now, the importance of continuing prayer. Now, when you pray and keep yourself prayed up, like Jesus said, men ought always to pray. That means don't just pray when the trouble comes. Don't just pray when your rent's not in, you got to pay it. Don't just pray when you've had a wreck. Don't just pray when Johnny's gone off and you hear his own dope. And the worst thing, here comes another call, and they're hearing from Sister Hoosick. And it's because her grandchild has been put in jail. Well, that's about the only time she can hear from old Sister Hoosick. is he gets the grandchild in trouble, and here she'll come, and he'll hear from Sister Hoosie. But brother, God bless the man or woman that as regular as the hour or the day comes, you have a place that you go before God and pray. Amen. We take our little old anatomy and set it down at a table. And it's funny, but you walk in and sit down at the table. And the kid will come in and just before you do. And that morning they sit in your place just for fun. Just to see what Papa will do. Now, like one chair has a certain kind of a move about it, or it has a certain kind of reaction. It's not that at all. It's we're human of habit. And the boy sits in Papa's chair. He comes in. He looks at him as though he's committed some great crime. He said, "Johnny, what are you doing in my seat?" Well, he said, "To be frank, it's not your seat. I took your seat and put it down at the other end, and I put my seat here, and this is, well, it's in the wrong place. Get that seat out and give me another chair. This is my place." He not only has a habit of eating every morning, but he has a certain place to sit. Amen. Who ever heard of going to the breakfast nook table and sitting at a different position every morning? Amen. That's why I can look out, just glance over and tell pretty well who's here. Because I know where they're going to sit. Maybe a little variation now and then, but not much. We're humans of habit. Now, we set ourselves down, and we got to eat. Oh, I don't know why. You may not even be hungry, but you got to eat. Got to eat. Got a habit of it. And then, funny, we'll go into bed. Now, we have a bed, and when we go into the bed, wife just rolls over and gets on his side. And he comes in, and he snaps the light off, and he comes over to sit down, take his sock off, and he sits right on top of her. "Molly, what in the world are you doing? Move over. Move over, nothing. You sat on me." "Yeah, I sat on you, but why are you here in my place? Who said it was your place?" "Well, it is. I sleep here." "Well, I sleep here too. Why is it yours just because you sleep here? Now, don't argue. For 10 years you slept over there and I slept here." "Well, that's no sign that you've got to always sleep here." And he'd sit there and argue till sun up or lay down in his place. Humans of habit. Got a place to sleep. You got a place to eat. But where's your place to pray?
That's right.
"Oh, I just pray anywhere, anytime." Oh, no. You just pray when things happen a lot of times. When trouble comes in, and when the battle gets hot. But Jesus Christ prayed regularly. The church prayed daily. And God said men ought always to pray. And the greatest therapy for a human being, the other day a doctor on the television, you say, did he know what he's talking about? We hope so. Because a lot of them don't. And the doctors themselves know that a lot of the other doctors don't know what they're doing. But he made a study of prayer. And he made this statement over the television. He said he found out that he didn't care who they were, what church they were connected with, but if that person would isolate themselves, get alone with God every day, and give theirself to prayer, it would be a tremendous therapy for their mind and their emotions and their physical body. Now, brother, in the light of that, what God has got to say about it. Jesus said men ought always to pray. Now, why do we pray? Sometimes we pray to get rid of tension. Sometimes we come to make a request for God to do something. And it's usually when you say, "I want $50, well, you could just say, "Well, I believe God will bring it in by 2:00. And you just make a statement, and you believe it'll be done. He can do that if you believe without even opening your mouth. You see? Because what you've got to do, you pray to let him know what you want. Then you believe because you have prayed. You say, "Well, don't believe people can get things without praying." I said, if you believe for it, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. When a doctor told another, and he And he didn't say that ever even prayed for God to heal him or nothing. But what he said is this. He said, the doctor said, we give you 6 months to live. He said, there's three of you, and that's been waiting on me. He said, what do the others think? One of them says, you've got about 4 months, and I say about 6 months, and the other is undecided. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put all three of you in your graves as far as life is concerned. I'm not going to kill you. But I'm going to outlive all three of you, and when all three of you are gone, I'm still going to be alive, and when I die, it's not going to be with cancer. Amen. And so they thought he was a first-class nut, and they paid no attention to him. But after a long period of time on the checking up of the doctor's record, they found out that Mr. Doctor 1 was dead, Mr. Doctor 2 was dead, Mr. Doctor 3 was dead, but their patient, John Doe, that said, I'll not die with cancer, I'll outlive all of you, he was still alive and doing good. And the Literary Digest, that was responsible, and they back up everything they put in there because they check it first, see it's true. They went to get his story, and he was alive and feeling good. And that was about 5 or 6 years after the last guy died. And they asked him how he did it. And he said the very fact that I know that if you believe in a thing strong enough and not have any doubt, I made up my mind to get up of a morning and not go around in a grouping attitude. I'm going to die. I stuck my head up and said, I'm going to listen to the mockingbirds. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to plan for the future. I'm going to live and not die. And he said, I'm not going to die with cancer. I don't have it now. No doctor can find it. And I'm going to live healthy until I die. Brother, that's believing. But brother, sometimes it takes a little prayer to be able to do that kind of believing. Communing with God. Oh, I'm talking about prayer. Somebody said, don't think it works. No, don't show your ignorance. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, prayer, it's gone down on record. And brother, God answers prayer. And he promised to answer prayer, the prayer of faith. Now, he said, if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church. And he said, let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise you up. And when the Lord raises you up, you're not sick no more. You say, what healed him? One fellow said the other day, he's talking to a fellow, and he said, well, that oil is medicine. Go to the drugstore, and whatever kind of medicine is, that medicine is referred to as oil. It's funny, he didn't say medicine, he said oil. He anointed him with olive oil. But it wasn't oil that did it at all. That's the symbol of the Holy Ghost. It's the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, who'd he say to get it? Now, send a telegram and get Mr. So-and-so, the man of the hour, to get on a plane, fly down, you know. Find any church. I don't care what hamlet or village it's in. If you got 2,000 of them in your city, call any church that's got an elder. That's a real elder. He's born again. He's a child of God. He can pray the prayer of faith. He didn't say find a church that has an elder that can pray the prayer of faith. If you're sick, call the elders of the church. Yeah. Meaning this, they have no business in the church if they can't get out and pray the prayer of faith and get a person out of that bed. There's a lot of these that ought to be fired off of the job that's on it. That's right. That went out over the air too, boom. Amen. If they're an elder of the church, thank God, you say, but that's in the New Testament. And it tells you exactly what to do if you're sick. Call the elders of the church. Pray with them. Anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Jesus, one time, they said, Lord, prayer, prayer, prayer. Boy, he said you pray up in the mountain, you pray in the solitary place, you pray in the desert, you pray in the wilderness. You get out and you pray. It must be a wonderful thing. Teach us to pray. Jesus said, you want to teach you to pray? You want to be taught to pray? Yeah, we want to know how to pray. And then Jesus said, let me give you a little example how to pray. He said there was a certain widow in a certain town. Now here's how, one way to get, there's different ways, you know, go about getting things from God in prayer, but here's one especially. He said this widow had a need. She needed the judge to avenge her of her adversary, and she's having trouble, and only the judge could help her. And this little widow woman, I can see her with her black shawl on around her shoulder, with her little old hair kind of parted just right and rolled up in the back and all. And I can see her as she comes in, and the audience stands, and she stands erect. And the judge comes in and sits down at the desk, and he whams with his gavel on the desk, you know. And he looks to see who is supposed to be first. And they said this little lady here was here first. And he looks over and he said, Mama, what do you want this morning? And she said, Judge, my request is so and so and so and so, and I want you to avenge me of my adversary. Out! I don't have time to fool with that. Get out! And the bailiff took her and went her out. What's the next on the docket? Went on, you know, through the day. And so the next morning, they come in, and they all stand, and the judge takes his seat, and down goes the gavel. He looks around. Who's first? Said the little lady over here is first. I looks at her and said, Mama, you back again? What in the world you want? My judge, I told yesterday, I'll repeat it again, told him what he wanted and said, I want you to avenge me, my adversary. Out, out, out. I told you yesterday I didn't have nothing to do with it. Jesus is talking now. And the next day she's there. Same thing repeated, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. And finally, a judge came in one morning, looked over there, and he said, Woman, what under heaven do you want? And she said, Judge, I want so and so and so and so. He said, Wait just a minute. Bailiff, come here. Get the officer, come here. I don't fear God nor regard man. But I'm bugged with this woman. She wearies me with her much coming. Now I want to get her out of my hair. Go on and whatever she wants, give it to her. And Jesus, hear what the judge said. Hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not your heavenly Father avenge you more speedily? Amen. Meaning this, just go right ahead and keep coming. He said, Wait a minute, I'm through. Let me give you another one. Said a man had a visitor come in, knocked at the door, said, Hello, John, you here? Why, Bill, is that you? Yeah, come. Said, Well, what time is it, man? Oh, it's about midnight. And, I'll get mine. We've been looking for you. Glad to have you. And he had to get up the door, and he said, Man, let me go to that kitchen. I'm hungry as I can be. And he said, Go to the kitchen. Nothing. Man, we're out of everything. Mama intended to make some bread, but she didn't. We don't have. Why? I said, Got to have bread. Been traveling all day. Hungry as a bear. And I got to have bread. Well, wait a minute. That's all right. I'll go over here to Mr. Simmons over here. And I'll borrow me some, I want him 3 loaves of bread. And I'll go over there. And he went over that midnight. His kid's in the bed, and everything's closed, and everything locked up. Rooster's already done, gone to bed and everything, and the dog had even laid down, and he began to knock. Knock, 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 and the fella hollered, Hey, who is it? It's Bill over here, cross street, your neighbor. What do you want? Man, what time is it? It's 12 o'clock. Well, my kid's in the bed. What in the world are you doing? I need 3 loaves of bread. Why, I can't get up. That's impossible. Go on, wait till in the morning. I can't get up. Knock, 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 knock. I said, Get away from the door. I can't get up this time of night. Knock, 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 knock. He said to his wife, That's the hard-headedest nut I ever saw in my life. And here, come again. Knock, 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 knock. I told you, Bill, to get away from the door. I can't get up. Knock, 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 knock. That crazy outfit will stay there all night. He finally said, Wait a minute. Hold it, hold it, hold it. I'll get up. And he got up, sleepy-eyed, reached over, found a match, lit the lamp. Got the lamp, went in the kitchen, got 3 big, nice, fresh loaves of bread, brought out, give it to him, and handed to him, said, Here, take it, get away. I got to go back to sleep. And the Lord Jesus gave that, and he said, Listen, it was as much importunity. I knocked and told you what I wanted, and now I'm knocking and knocking and knocking until the bread comes. Jesus is talking about how to get things. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask about prayer?
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. That's the same as this other. That means you pray today, you pray tomorrow, You pray the next day. You pray that when you cease, you say, what happened to you? Well, I quit praying. I just thought it wouldn't be no good. And you cease. But when you pray without ceasing, that means you pray today, I pray 30 minutes or an hour. Then tomorrow, I pray 30 minutes or an hour. The next day, I pray 30 minutes an hour. That means I'm praying without ceasing. But when I stop, now like one little boy, it's not like this. Now this is a real true story. It's a little humor to it, but it really happened. Now Bill Paxton's down there right out of Liberty. I think you remember this.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when that cyclone came through, and there's a cyclone came through that part and really tore up the country. And they had put out a warning that there was a cyclone threat, and it was really getting close. And they had several gathered in at Bill Paxton's place, and finally they looked in the distance, and there was a cyclone coming down. It was kind of whirling around. And the radio was saying that alert, there's a cyclone, and some has spotted a cyclone. Well, when they looked out and saw that it could be possible, it might come toward the house, Bill Paxton and his wife, and there's about four women there, and the men happened not to be there, but the men's there. So this boy, about 11 years old, he was out there, and they called him Johnny. And they hollered and said, Johnny, come on in and let us pray. Now, let us pray. And Johnny was nearly scared. His eyes were bugging. Boy, he saw that boiling cloud, and he saw the reaction of his mama and the others. And he got down on his knees, and they said, you never saw a bishop in your life pray like that old boy. He prayed about mama. He prayed about daddy. He prayed about the job. He didn't know just how to pray. He prayed about the storm. He prayed about Susie. He prayed about Mary. He prayed, and he prayed. And oh, while they prayed, he prayed, and he really prayed. And he turned out to be such a prayer warrior until about 2 days later, after the cyclone was gone and out of sight and the heavens were clear and now the sun's shining, Miss Molly comes over and brings Sister Paxton a very urgent request for her daughter that's real sick. And so Johnny is right outside playing. And they said, Sister Paxton, they wanted to call and tell me to come over and have you pray with them. Because we want her, she's going in for tests. It could be a serious operation, and we want God to spare that. Okay, let's do it. Wait just a minute. We can't pray without our prayer warrior. Let's get Johnny. And he said, Johnny, Sister So-and-so's come, and there's an urgent request. And they want us to pray that when they take the test, it'll be all right. And come on in and help us pray. He looked up and took his hand and brushed his hair out of his eyes where he was playing. And he said, did you say pray? And they said, yes, Johnny, pray. He said, none of that. Man, he said, I got all that I needed the other day. And he said, you and Mama go on and do the praying. He said, man, I don't want no more of that. That's all I had the other day. He said, I don't want more of that. And boy, he just turned right around and went on with it. Cyclone had gone. Sun shining. But that's exactly what he did. Boy, that's a dose of castor oil to me. There's no cyclone coming. And that's just exactly a way with a lot of people. That's just exactly a lot of way. Is that kid. While they do not say it outwardly, in their inner part, the pressure's lifted now. I'll quit praying. Let's pray when everything is lovely. And when you pray, stand, forgive. That's another thing he said about prayer. Some people pray and their prayers never reach heaven. They're stopped because they're hindered. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But the word says effectual. It has to go into effect. You can't arrest a man on a law if it hasn't gone in effect. The law has to go into effect before it has teeth in it. And your prayer has to go into effect before God can answer it. It has to have the quality of wholeness to it. It's got to have the quality of right. It can't be wrong. It's got to have the element of God's will in it. You see? And it's got to have the element of fervency, not cold. When I see people say, you know, let's go and pray. Take one knee. Just one knee. And they bend it. Oh, our God. Cold. Man, you talk about hen sets on eggs, she's got to heat them up before they ever hatch. And brother, I'm going to tell you right now, you put them out there and goose could go all around them till that goose comes and sits on and warms them up, they'll never hatch. You put them out there, a cold prayer never goes anywhere. But brother, off of a hot prayer, a hot heart, and you raise your the effectual fervent. You know what fervent is? It's hot. Fervent is red hot. That means heat to it. You got rid of the cold. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now we're talking about prayer. That's lesson number one. I haven't half got through with all the scriptures Jesus said about it. But how many believe with the information we've got this morning that we don't need to show up when a lot of trouble's there? Let's show up every day, and then when trouble does come, he will be with us in trouble and deliver us. Praise God. Do you have the request here this morning? Go in there, that's right, and get them. We're going to pray right now, and we're going to bring them to God. Did you have a...
Yeah, a lady told me to ask you. I hope she's listening on there. Can a woman anoint the sick? Can a woman...
Yeah, anoint the sick. Yeah. If... Yes, uh-huh. That's perfectly all right. My wife is a minister. If she goes in to pray for someone, she has a perfect right to anoint with oil. And but there's one thing while we're talking about oil, I don't believe in a lot of people, a whole lot of people are using this, and they're in error about it. They'll go up and they'll get someone to lay their hands on it and anoint the oil, so the oil will get the job done and lay the hands on. Nobody on this face of this earth, not even Jesus, ever laid his hands on oil and blessed it. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And they give him this little bottle of olive oil, and they run around and trying to use it and saying that it's going to do this, that, and the other. It's not going to do a thing in the world. I don't care how much...
Huh? They may allow strings and everything.
Yeah.
Even their ties.
Ties, yeah. Even take their shirt tail that they've sweat on and tear a piece of it off. I don't want the shirt tail or the pants leg either. Nothing. That's right. All I want to do is pray out of a good, clean heart. But we are running out of gimmicks. And a lot of people over the country are using gimmicks, and God's tired of it. You don't need to add one thing under heaven to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll get the job done all by itself. It always has, and it always will. Just a plain good old gospel. Praise God. Now we've got 38 unspoken requests. Pray for the 120 Club. Pray for Douglas Harmon's family that passed away. And they want us to pray that God will undertake the funeral, be at Dudley Hughes Chapel on Buckner tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and pray for the family. A lady suffering with arthritis, a lady in the Mesquite Memorial Hospital undergoing surgery. There's so many here, by the time I'd read one, you'd forget the other. And the main thing, I hold them up before God. I think of that letter they put on the altar, and he said, God, read that letter. And God said to Isaiah, Isaiah, run over and tell Hezekiah, I read the letter. I read the letter, and I'm going to do something about it. How many believe God's read every letter?
Amen.
That's right. And I'm going to bring every one of these requests to God this morning. We're going to take time here to have a good prayer this morning. We're going to pray for the service tonight. Pray for the service Sunday morning, Sunday night. And we're glad for you that are here. Let's look forward for another great time tomorrow. And you never know one day what's going to happen the next. And let's pray. Now, that's what we're here for. And we have this prayer chain that's going this week. And I just thought how unscriptural it'd be to say, well, let's all quit praying. If ever there's a time, what we've been praying for hasn't happened yet. God's moving, but we haven't, we're still knocking. I haven't got my bread yet. When I get my bread, then it's no time to quit. We should still have our time of prayer and let nothing stand in the way of our waiting before God. It's a therapy for the soul and for the body itself. The peace, my people are in tension. I'm just going to say this, and it's something I think a lot of people want to know. A lot of times we think afflictions has connection with the human body, and it's some kind of a physical affliction in our body, or we'll say it's we're sick, you know, and we mix up afflictions with sickness, and we think that if you're afflicted, you're sick, or if you're sick, you're afflicted. Now, while a lot of folk think that, and there's a lot of people that has referred to both of them, affliction is one thing, and sickness is another. It said, if anybody is sick, let them call an elder and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith saves sick, and the Lord raise them up. But if anybody is afflicted, don't call nobody. Don't have nobody anoint you. Let them, their self, get down on their knees and raise their hand and let them have a prayer meeting.
That's the truth.
Not sick, you're afflicted. Depression, imagination, bitterness bothered you. All those old things. And you're afflicted with things that afflict your soul. And you're under a depression. You're cast down. You've been listening to the wrong thing, feeding at the wrong table, and you just feel all upset. Just get down and have a good prayer meeting. Don't go, oh, preacher, please pray for me. Pray for yourself. Get down and have a prayer meeting. That's right. But if you're afflicted, let him pray. And I'll tell you, it'll certainly do good. It rules the burden off. Now, we're going to bring all these requests to God. Yes. And by the way, Sister Hibbard reminded me, there's some others that's going into operation tomorrow, and they want us to pray. And there's another request that the illegal aliens that are coming in from Iran, over 2,000 of them have come in just the last few weeks. And you don't know how many of those are communistic-inspired as spies coming in as refugees. And when they come in here, they infiltrate among our people, and they give. And that's the enemy takes advantage of that. You just can't anybody go to Russia and get in, but they're gonna have to know all about you, your grandpa, your grandma, what you've done, what kind of work you've done, who you've contacted, and if you've ever had. They scrutinize you, and then they put you under observance for 6 months, without almost around the clock. To find out what you do. But we let them come in, and boy, we don't even know the name, don't know where they are, they just lose out, and they could be the greatest enemy to our country. And these things are happening. Our society, our economy has reached a place that anybody on the street, I don't care who it is, when you bring it up, they'll say, boy, isn't it in the sight? And it's not getting better. It's not getting better. And how many people are praying that God will put the right one in? You could easily put the wrong one in. And we need to pray that God will undertake and have his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And let's pray for our economy, pray for our president, that God will give him wisdom. And so many of the mistakes that's been made, we sure need to pray for him. And we need to pray that God will use this election, and the only hope, of course, God's got to work the Congress over and the Senate over. And he's got to work the senators and the congressmen and the Supreme Court. And in all of their doings, I wish they'd get rid of these buses. Now, the buses have never done one good thing to nobody. It's cost us tremendously. It has never given anybody a better education. But it's taken out of the middle class man that's That's giving 85% of the money to pay all the other expenses. It's taken out of the middle man's pocket. Amen. Money, where he needs to take his money and send his child to a private school where they won't be involved with dope, where they won't be involved with cussing, with immorality, sex, and infidelity. All these things are germinated in so many of the schools today, until a lot of people are having to dig down, and in spite of all that, they're having to take their children instead of sending them to a neighborhood school that has principle and has character, and they can send them there. They're having to put them on a bus, and one of their baby kids gets on a bus, and they send it clear across town, across railroad tracks, across highways, threatening their life on the highway, and send it there, and they don't see the kid till late that evening coming back on a bus. That is not comfortable to the hearts of mamas and daddies. If they had take every bus that's in America today, and take every bus and take the gas they have to spend in running that bus and save that gas, we'd have all the gas we need, and we could cut out a lot of that. And if they'd take all the money they use to buy them buses and pay the fella to run them every day, we could have one of the greatest school systems in our neighborhood that we've ever had. But we've got a bunch of warped up stuff that's putting it over, and it's not the will of the people. It's the will of a few people that's narrow-minded. Now we need to pray that God will undertake. Let's stand together and let's ask God to undertake in these situations. Our Father, we pray that you would undertake this morning for the many requests. We pray that you'd have your way. And we thank you for these that have gathered out. We pray to bless their hearts. Oh God, we pray to encourage. We pray to have your way in our society. In our president election that's coming up, let your will be wrought. With these aliens that are coming in, God, I pray to stop that. These that are going into hospital, we pray to watch over them. And God, we pray to have thy way. Heal Darren's body. Heal him, Lord, and let him go back to school. We pray for every one of these that called in. Everyone, every time the phone rang, God, answer the prayer. And stretch out your hand. Touch those, Lord, that are suffering. Those that wrote in, Jesus. I pray to visit every one of them today. And grant them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the service tonight. Anoint it, bless it. And let us get into the Word. And Lord, help us to teach. And we pray that you'd have your way, Father. Bless in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray for this contract, that you'd have your perfect way in the contract that we've sent in the name of Jesus, for thy glory. I praise you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Father, we love you and we thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pass the pan this morning. And if you'll get the pan, we'll sing a little chorus. All right. Brother Wright, we're glad to have you here this morning with us. Praise God. All right. There's one man right around here this morning. All right. Let's sing, There's a River. I think that's pretty. We can all sing it together. Well, there is a river.